Welcome, everyone, to the second annual Joey's MMA Award Show. I am your co-host, one half of your hosting duo, yes. Noah Baker. My suit got lost at the dry cleaner, so here I am repping
the school. If there's anything you're going to wear, I want it to be that right there.
Now, the man to my right is my co-host and the man who will be giving out the awards for the evening. That is the lovely and the talented Dominic Salee. Dominic, how are you doing this evening?
Oh, Noah, it's been a long time since I've seen your beautiful face. And now we're here reunited again in the studio. And it's for the biggest MMA award show in the industry, the Joey's 2021 edition. I'm so excited to go through this, man. We had a blast last year. We're even more ready and prepared this year. It's been a phenomenal year for the podcast, the growth, the community. And boy, what a way. This is the last episode of 2021. There's no better way to go out. Noah, how have you been?
I've been doing pretty good. As you can see, I'm at my mommy's house because middle-aged white woman background.
You're right. We've seen that before. Yeah.
Yep. Dominic's got the polar opposite, the yin to my yang with the backgrounds there. But everything's good over here. Happy holidays, everyone. I know we're kind of past Christmas, but heading towards the new year. So hopefully everybody's having a good holiday season and spending time with quality people, friends, family, and anything alike.
That's right.
But I really appreciate you guys taking the time to join us today here live from the – I was trying to think of what arena this could potentially be because Dominic's got a nice little backdrop for this episode.
Yeah, we rented it out.
What's that place, La Comedia?
La Comedia is a local joint. Yep. Yeah, we're at La Comedia.
We're live from La Comedia in Springboro, Ohio.
Yeah, Ohio's Broadway, baby, you know.
For the second annual Joey's MMA Awards show, we got a preface here at the top. We got 10 categories for you guys, 5 nominees each, but only one take home the prestigious Dominic. Flash it for him, the Joey.
The Joey. That's right. We came with a trophy, damn it.
And they're all signed by Shaquille O'Neal.
Don't get it twisted. This is a glove. It's not a basketball. It's not a replica NBA championship trophy.
We designed it that way because remember when Connor said to Draymond Green, "I dribble heads off the canvas, you dribble balls."
Exactly. And now here's our guest appearance from Connor McGregor. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Maybe next year.
Maybe next year when we're not at La Comedia.
Right.
But anyways, appreciate you guys sending in your submissions for your picks. For our categories. Now, reminder, we had told everybody, hey, if you have a pick for each category, send in an individual video for that category. So, as a reminder, I'm going to show you guys for future reference how not to do this again.
Hi, yes, this is Trevor Sievert with the Barely Critical Movie Review Podcast. You may recognize me from my infinite internet fame and dashingly good looks. I just wanted to say for each and every category that you have on this show, I wanted to nominate Scott Voss, the greatest MMA fighter of our generation, a man who defied the laws of MMA and broke the rules without even having the officials break a sweat. One of the greatest fights in UFC history, and he did it all for the kids. Damn it, that's a beautiful man right there. And if he doesn't win each category, you can expect a call from my lawyers. Thank you, and Merry Christmas, boys.
Thank you, Trevor, for sending in your submissions for all 10 of our categories.
All 10 categories, one nominee. I mean, come on.
Nominating Scott Voss from 2012's Here Comes the Boom.
Yes.
He is the title character of the, dare I say, perhaps the biggest and best MMA movie of all time.
That's true.
Played by everybody's favorite actor, Kevin James.
Yes.
We did watch that movie over on their channel, the Barely Critical Movie Review Podcast, so go check that out. But I don't think Scott Voss is going to be winning any of these awards. Unfortunately, we had to disqualify that submission because Trevor did not follow the rules.
Yes. Sorry, Trevor. Maybe next year.
So please, if you send us a cease and desist from your lawyer, then we're going to cease and desist getting cease and desist letters from your lawyer.
Yes. So we're going to buy out their show and we're going to run both podcasts at the same time.
Hey, I've been on a big movie kick. Sign me up.
There we go.
All right. Let's get right into the first category, Dom. What do you say?
I just got goosebumps, Noah. Here we go, baby.
So, newcomer of the year.
There it is.
And Dominic, I'm going to actually do a little freestyle here. Freestyle. I'm going to let you give the nominees for this award.
Ladies and gentlemen, the nominees are Casey O'Neill, Mano Farrow, Usman Nurmagomedov, Roush Manfio, and Chris Curtis. We have five nominees for every category moving forward. Newcomer of the year, Noah, what do you think of those five?
Oh, I think it's a very tough category to limit to five this year for sure.
Yes.
Very tough to, you know, we wanted to have parity here because we're not just a UFC podcast, but we also understand UFC's the gold medalists. They're the premier organization. So they're going to have an overwhelming amount. But here you get a representative from the PFL and from Bellator. And I think they're both very, very deserving. But Dominic, I think it's pretty clear that this was a two-man race for us.
It was.
Two-man or two-woman race there, however you want to word
that. Two-person race. We'll just do that.
So I think it came down to two people. I won't spoil it. But Dominic, drum roll, please.
Maybe I can add that in. Maybe there's a sound effect I can do. I'll try my best. Anyways, in case there's not a sound effect, the winner of the Joey Award, the very first Joey of 2021, newcomer of the year, goes to Chris Curtis. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Curtis, welcome to the Joeys. Here is your beautiful, one-of-a-kind trophy.
And we will accept this award on his behalf because he's not in attendance.
Yes, I'll send it in the mail. He is an Ohio guy after all.
So Chris Curtis was my pick. Dominic, you were on the Casey O'Neill train, and we flipped a coin as any.
Yes, that's how close it was.
As any, you know, that's how they should have solved the Civil War, right?
Flipped
a coin and been like, all right, let's all move on.
But
they didn't think like us, so. Here we are flipping a coin. Chris Curtis is the winner. Now, Dominic, I want to give you a moment to talk about why Chris Curtis was deserving of this award, but also talk about the year Casey O'Neill had as well.
First and foremost, then with, you know, kind of my personal one with Casey O'Neill, she came in 23 years old. She went 3-0 on the year, all via stoppage, you know, the TKO of Shayna Dobson in her debut, tough debut fight, submitted Lara Procopio and then got a TKO over Antonina Shevchenko. That catapulted her in to the top 15 where she is today. But man, Chris Curtis debuted in October and then fought again in November.
Yeah.
Is that how it was? Yeah. So he debuted late in the year, right? But he debuts against Phil Halls on like 1 month's notice. He wanted to fight the guy on 24 hours notice. If you guys remember that from a couple months back, but he TKO'd Phil Halls after facing adversity there. And then a month later at UFC 268 goes up against Brendan Allen, a guy that I'm a huge fan of that I feel has a super high ceiling in this division, and gets a TKO there and stops him. I mean, man, you really can't go wrong with either one of these two. And again, the fact that it came down to a coin flip says it all for what these two did this year in the UFC.
Yeah. I mean, a bit of a spoiler, but that's the only category we had to do that for.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think that shows just how strongly we felt about these newcomers this year. A lot of people making big, big steps in their development, really pushing for that splash entrance. You know, Hamzat was the clear winner last year.
Right.
This year wasn't quite as such. You know, you just had a lot of people making big impacts. The big thing for me, what it really came down to was the way that Chris Curtis got to make his debut, both on short notice.
Crazy.
I mean, really consider the career this guy had. Mm-hmm. You know, he's come out of retirement. This was like third time coming out of retirement. Really kind of just like, hey, I'm just kind of here for a few fights. Whatever happens, happens. Signing up for basically saying yes to anything.
Crazy.
Gets opportunities. He gets two very, very big up-and-comers in the middleweight division and disposes of both of them before the third round was over.
Yeah, Crazy.
So I think that says a lot about the kind of year he had and, you know, maybe why we should be on the lookout for him to make a big push in 2022 as well.
100%, my friend.
Our second category of the night, we move on to a bit of a knockout of the year.
Submissions first.
Oh, sorry. Submission of the year.
A little.
So, Dominic, who are our five nominees for submission of the year?
Fun category here, Noah. Submission of the year nominees: Amanda Nunes, Randy Brown, Anthony Hernandez, Julian the Cuban Missile Crisis Marquez, and Mr. Andre Muniz. Noah.
Yeah, a lot of fun ones on here. Shout out to Randy Brown.
Yes, of course.
He was snubbed by the UFC's very own Twitter account, who put out their picks for submission of the year. Might I just say, a bit of a rudimentary list. Yeah. And he just was upset about not being nominated. So I know Randy. The UFC, Randy, but
hey,
the Joey's got you.
We got you.
But, you know, this was one of those years where there wasn't – submission's always kind of a hard one because there's – it's hard to really have, like, a super flashy submission.
Exactly.
Unless, like, you know, how often do you get those submissions that really make your jaw drop, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So here, a lot of it had to come down to, you know, sure, it's the submission itself, but it's the circumstances surrounding the submission as well.
Yes.
You know, you see some comeback victories on here, some brutal submissions, you know, among others. And yeah, Dominic, I think unless you have anything else to say, drum roll, please.
Drum roll, please. Ladies and gentlemen, the winner for the Joey Submission of the Year 2021 goes to the Lioness, Amanda Nunes. Welcome to the Wall of Fame. If there ever was one in the studio here, here's your Joey.
Yeah, first time winner here for Amanda Nunes for the Joey's. Kind of surprising. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She only fought once in 2020, so we didn't give her the award last year for Female Fighter of the Year, but she might not have been the 2021 in the fashion she would have hoped for, but she started this year off fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Brutal. Going up against Megan Anderson, disposes of her in just over a minute and does it in brutal, brutal fashion. She was a clear winner here for me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how often do you see triangle armbar? She really had Megan screwed either which way she went. You know, she was going to snap the arm. She was going to choke her out with the triangle. It was a beautiful submission. It was a fight where a lot of people thought, okay, maybe Megan Anderson could cause some troubles. The power, the length, the size. It was at 145. But no, I mean, this happened in what, less than a minute and a half, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Amanda made it look easy on the feet. And then to get such a high-profile submission win like this, it was the clear-cut winner for both of us here in this category. Mm-hmm.
And now it's time for Category 3.
There you go. Bah,
bah. Knockout of the year.
I can barely move in this thing. I'm going to rip it.
Yeah. And Dominic, I have some things to say about this category, but before I do, I'm going to let you lay out the nominees so we can talk about them as well.
Ladies and gentlemen, your nominees are Mr. Corey Sanhagen, Jiří Prochazka, Ignacio Bahamondes, one of my favorite names in the UFC, Kamaru Usman, and Mr. Bellator himself, Sergio Pettis, rounding it out at number 5.
Mm-hmm. This category was a son of a bitch.
To say
sorry, sorry to the kids and families here at Locked Media.
Right, right.
It's a family show, after all.
It's in the fine print on the ticket, people.
But there was upwards of 20 knockouts that easily could have been on this list.
Yeah.
Hardest one to really limit down. I try to do that process over the course of the year because I don't like adding that much stress to my plate.
Yeah.
So over the course of the year, I try to, like, as ones take place and I'm like, oh, that's a top five one for sure, I try to take off ones and I'm like, no, that's probably not going to be top five. I still ended up with like 10 when we started talking about it. So, and you had probably 10 of your own. So it was like, well,
how are we going to do this?
But, yeah, a lot of really good ones on here. I mean, you could probably – every one of these could be a winner, I would say. And
oh, 100%.
It wouldn't feel out of place. But, you know, again, I think more so than submission of the year, we tried to just go off of how maybe shocking the knockout was, you know.
Yeah.
You know, just more so like the knockout itself, just what really got us out of our seats, you know.
Exactly.
I think of like a Jorge Masvidal when he knocked out Ben Askren, and I jumped out of my chair at B-Dubs.
That jaw-dropping moment, man. You know,
so more so than submission of the year, probably a little bit edged towards that side. But I've talked enough, Dominic. Go ahead.
Drum roll, please. Ladies and gentlemen, the winner for the 2021 Joey for Knockout of the Year goes to Mr. Corey Sanhagen. Corey, I'll mail this out to Colorado. Here's your Joey.
Another first-time winner. Shout out to Corey Sanhagen. This wasn't even the main event. That's so crazy. This was a co-main event on Fight Night.
And it was so long ago. This was in February, man. It was just such a crazy year for Corey Sanhagen that it's like, oh, wait, this did happen to start off his year, you know?
And you know what's so amazing about this getting a win is I really didn't think it would. Yeah. Not that I didn't think it was deserving of it, but I was looking at it and I was like, I really thought Dominic was going to side more with Baja Mendez. He seemed like when that happened, I thought that was it. I thought that was a wrap.
Yeah.
That took over. That was kind of felt like Joaquin Buckley a little bit in 2020. Yeah. I was like, okay, it's a wrap. But Corey Sanhagen, man, when we got to the end of the year and we were talking about it, we were like, man, the way he did that to Frankie Edgar.
Oh.
A guy who, insane. Yes, I know it's Frankie Edgar who's not – it's not the Iron Chin Frankie Edgar. But to knock him out cold like that and do it in – the fashion where, like, I mean, that it, the setup for that was
yeah, so, it was yes, it was so calculated, man.
Yeah,
and, moving backwards, he knows Frankie's coming in. Bam, the vertical leap, by the way, on Sanhagen, quite
that,
impressive.
That it was just a very impressive flying knee.
Yeah,
obviously, all of these were very impressive, but you know, style points for the flying knee for sure.
Yeah, and just the fashion in which your opponent gets knocked out and just face plants was second to none there with Corey Sanhagen. So shout out to the Sandman.
Mm-hmm. On to category number 4, that being Comeback Fighter of the Year.
Hmm.
Now, Dominic, I want to just kind of give the definition.
Yes, let them know.
Kinda, because this is one of those that
it's
I like it because it's basically whatever you want it to be, whatever you want that Comeback Fighter of the Year to mean. You can really do so. It could be for someone coming off of a long layoff, off of an injury, off of a losing streak, someone who came back in multiple fights, perhaps someone like Gerald Meerschaert, who did not make this list, but guy who had a losing streak going into this year and had multiple big comebacks in his fights during the year.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to see the nominees, and some of them are going to be on here for one reason or another, but that made it even harder, I guess, to evaluate at the end of the day, as we're kind of comparing apples and oranges, but I'm an apple guy, so someone's got to win.
Oh, I do agree. I do favor apples.
Yeah. So who are our nominees for this lovely award, Dominic?
Our 5 nominees are as follows, Noah. We've got Lionheart Anthony Smith, Andrea Lee, Fedor Emelianenko, Jose Aldo, and Bam Bam the Shoey himself, Ty Tuivasa.
Yes, this list, as you can already see, you know, people on here, a lot of them being for that losing streak. You know, that's one that we hold a lot on that. When someone who we kind of count out, Anthony Smith, you know, he had a pretty bad 2020. Yes, he ended it with that win over Devin Clark, but Devin Clark wasn't a top 15 guy, and, you know, it was a good win, but one where you kind of still had to question where did Anthony Smith really fit in.
Exactly.
And then you see in 2021, the kind of comeback he was able to make. And that's the case for a lot of fighters on this list. But then you have someone like Fedor Emelianenko, who just had like a long layoff and to come back.
Everybody was uncertain. 44.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
More of an age, you know, 44, and he's going up against one of the top contenders in Bellator's heavyweight division, Tim Johnson. Looks phenomenal.
Look at that knockout. Could have been a knockout of the year contender, you know? I mean, that was a vicious KO that he had.
Yeah, true. So, Dominic, unless you have anything else to say, our winner, please.
The winner for the 2021 Joey for Comeback Fighter of the Year goes to none other than the King of Rio, Jose Aldo. Oh, here is your Joey. Just another trophy to add to the mantle of Jose Aldo. I mean, he's not even going to have room for this thing.
Yeah,
I might just have to keep this one.
this is one that we really didn't decide on until late in the year, obviously.
Yeah. We literally had it TBA because he had that fight with Rob Font a couple weeks ago. Huge
win over Rob Font, and doing it in the fashion he did definitely held a lot of stock in our decision making.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't dominate that fight the way he did. Maybe we go with Anthony Smith, who was kind of a clear
that front was our guy.
Here, yeah. I thought, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So Aldo getting the win here, two big wins, two top 10 opponents. He looks like he's right back in the driver's seat for potentially another title shot here at bantamweight, one that he might actually earn this time.
Yeah, I mean, right. Dominic, right.
What a year he had.
Well, yeah, and that plays into this, right? Because he did have, he was one of those guys like Anthony, had one win late in 2020, real latter half of the year. But in 2021 was the real statement. I mean, he has the amazing decision win over Pedro Munhoz, looked incredible in that fight. And then the fight with Rob Font with the power that's still there, you know, after all this time. And you have to factor in, though, I mean, he was on what, a 3-fight losing streak, including a loss to the current bantamweight champion, Pewter, or he's not the champion, but he lost in the championship fight.
We'll get to that fight later.
Sorry, guys. But, you know, he was on that skid. He went down a weight class where, like, he started 0-2 in that weight class. Like, oh, is he really going to be able to make a run here at 135? And now here he is, literally a win away from a title shot again. And like Noah said, one that will be earned this time. Incredible year. The fact that he's still on top of the game after all this time, he's a legend, man. What else can you say about
how his career went, you know, when he got that loss to Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
And it felt like Conor was going to be the future of the sport, and he was.
Right.
And, you know, Aldo, it felt like maybe he had already hit his peak.
Mm-hmm.
But now you look at their record since that fight, and it's kind of crazy how Aldo's really been the one that's remained, held on to his spot at the top, while Conor has sort of floundered a little bit.
That's very true, man.
But moving on from there, category number 5. This is our one kind of downer.
Right.
This is our one Razzie. Have you ever heard of the Razzies, Dom?
Can you explain?
It's a movie award show for the worst movies of the year.
Oh, okay. So this is our Razzie trophy.
This is our Razzie trophy, basically, yes. Because our Rotten Tomato trophy of the year, if you will. Yeah. You know, a fight, you know, so many big fights that get announced over the course of the year. And I just wanted a spot to talk about those fights that got us so excited and then just failed.
It's tough. It really is. The somber part of the show. There's no other way to put it.
Yeah. So Dominic, our nominees.
The nominees are, and these are fights, so I have to name multiple people. We've got Beneil Dariush versus Tony Ferguson, Tiago Santos versus Johnny Walker, Phil Davis versus Yoel Romero over there in Bellator, Korean Zombie versus Dan Ige, and the aforementioned Aljamain Sterling versus Pewter Jan Noah.
Now, do you have anything really on your mind with this category when you look at this, when you look at these nominees?
So what was funny is going into this, because Noah and I had our separate lists, and then we kind of came together, sat down for an hour, put it all together, made the list, blah, 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 the official nominees. And there we obviously had a couple similarities, but there were some that we kind of went back and forth on. And then we were looking at our category, and we were like, you know what? Let's hold on. Let's go look back through these events. What were some fights that maybe didn't live up? Because there are so many fights that we watch that we prep for and cover on the show and recap. So one of the late additions, you know, just kind of a little background here and there on some of these categories, was the Korean Zombie Dan Ige fight. We were like, you know what, man? Like, it was a good performance from Zombie. He showcased a skill set we haven't seen much from him. But when that fight got made, we're like, oh, this is fireworks. Dan Ige was coming off of that 14-second knockout against Gavin Tucker. Korean Zombie's never been in a doll fight in his life. He was coming off that fight with Brian Ortega. There was no way this was going to go the distance. No way this wasn't going to be back and forth, just Yair Rodriguez versus a Korean Zombie type war. And it did kind of under-deliver. And so, you know, for what it's worth, guys, with some background information, that was our latest entry into the nominee list. But Noah, just because it was the latest edition doesn't mean it takes home the Joey.
No. Let's go ahead and get into that winner.
Well, you guys might have seen this coming, but The winner is, I don't even want to get excited for this one. The winner for the most disappointing fight of the year is Aljamain Sterling versus Petr Yan.
Oh, yeah. Put in like a little sound effect. That's like,
now do they both get a trophy? Is that how it works?
They can cut it in half and send one to
okay.
One and one to one.
Fair enough.
Yeah. All right. This was the most obvious winner. What's so funny, Dominic, is that this is the best fight on this list.
It's not even close. It's by far the best fight.
Literally, if this fight just had an ending that didn't kick me straight in the dick, I would have probably – it might have been up there for fight of the year for all we know. I mean, it was a great fight.
It was.
And then we're at Lockomedia for a reason. I'm just kidding. No, I'm not going to say that. But things took a turn. And we had our first belt to change hands via disqualification.
For what it's worth, a very historical moment. I mean,
as historical as CM Punk making his debut at UFC 203, correct?
That's right. Right there on the wall.
Yep. They both can stay in the corner there as like historical moments. Like, yep, you guys have your spot.
Fair enough.
So, that's what just hurts this fight is that, you felt like Petr Yan was clearly pulling away, was looking like he was going to clearly win this fight either on the scorecards or maybe a late round finish. And yes, I know. I get it. I'm a fan of the fight game. Anything can happen. Blah, 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 blah. That fight, Petr Yan was going to win. I'm just going to say it. It was clearly all momentum on his side. And then he throws that fucking illegal knee to that downed opponent, Sterling. And when Sterling couldn't continue, I was just like, man, fuck this fight.
It was, man.
And look what it kind of did for like the rest of the year. Sterling couldn't fight again for the rest of 2021. He had major neck surgery. We're not even sure when he's going to fight again. But, Jan had to go fight for an interim belt against Corey Sandhagen, which we'll talk about that fight later.
Yes, we will.
And that was kind of a saving grace of this year. But it's like right now we're like, you mistakenly called Jan the champion. And that's really where we're at. You have a guy who has the belt who just doesn't feel like the champion. This isn't like a Juliana Pena situation where like I still look at her and I'm like, how did you win that fight?
No, this was
someone who won the fight on a technicality, and not that it was his fault.
Not at all.
Through the knee.
Yes,
but it's still a technicality and one that I just can't. I can't put it anywhere else but on my most disappointing fight.
Yeah, and then this, again, the winner, being this fight, just kind of does show where our heads are at, where you look at the other four fights, and it was because they were just dull fights, right? They were disappointing. Mm-hmm. But then this one, as Noah said, the best fight of these five, but the freaking outcome outweighs all of those other super bad fights so much. Like, it was truthfully a no-brainer. Noah had to sit me down and be like, bro, wait a minute. Think about this. And I was like, you know what? Now that you say it, you're right. This is definitely the most disappointing.
That does sound like something I'd say, bro, just think about it like this.
Clear cut winner here. And now that the somber part of the show is over, let's get back to some exciting stuff.
Let's pick it back up with our most surprising fight of the year.
I like this category, Noah. This is one of my most fun ones we have.
Yeah, I don't. I know it's a little weird having disappointing like a negative award on here, but truthfully, I just felt like it was the yin and yang, disappointing, surprising. Yeah. So you kind of go from one to the other. These were fights that we really didn't expect a whole lot out of. Maybe expected it to be pretty one sided, and then their opponents said, or the fighters, depending on
in general,
just said, no, we're going to go to war, even if we didn't expect it. So that's another beautiful part of the sport. Sure, you have those fights that disappoint you at the top of the card, but somewhere, first fight of the night, maybe you don't expect much, and all of a sudden that's fight of the night. That's the way it goes.
It's that silver lining.
Yeah, so Dominic, our nominees.
Our nominees are Sean O'Malley versus Chris Moutinho. Mirab Valishvili versus Marlon Moraes. Bruno Capoloza versus Ante Dillia, part two. Paddy Pimblett versus Luigi Vendramini. And the most recent one on the list, Juliana Pena versus Amanda Nunes. Noah, give me your thoughts here.
Did I say that the last category had the most obvious winner? Because I might want to take that back.
Yeah, let's be honest here.
But I do want to give a shout out to Bruno Capoloza versus Ante D'Elia too.
Yes.
Because, you know, even though it's not going to be the winner, I'm just going to say that now.
Yeah.
When I was watching that PFL Championships, I've been a big Bruno Capoloza guy mm-hmm. all season.
He had a fantastic season.
And this is a guy he had already smashed one time before, and that fight freaking delivered. If I implore you guys, if you have ESPN Plus, go check out that fight. PFL Championships, yes, you'll have to fast forward through a lot.
Like 8 hours worth of stuff, yeah.
But if you can watch that fight, please do, because it was very close to being in the fight of the year discussion. Oh, the first 100%. Half of that fight might be the best fight of the year.
Oh, insanity.
The second half of the fight, just, you know, it's not bad. It just slows down a bit because they're heavyweights.
Yeah, right.
But an amazing fight. But I just wanted to give it a shout out because I felt like it deserved it.
And it was for all the marbles, Noah, too. It makes it even more impressive.
For that heavyweight championship, that $1 million.
That's right.
But Dominic, our winner is...
the winner for the 2021 Joey for most surprising fight of the year. And damn it, Noah, we don't have an award for it, but the most surprising outcome of the year probably too. Juliana Pena versus Amanda Nunes. Juliana shocked the world.
So what I like about our winners for this year is that it, when I thought of these categories, the way that the reason why these two got awards were not things I thought of mm-hmm. when I made the category. I never thought of most disappointing fight being a fight that was really good, but had a terrible outcome.
Right.
That was bad for its division and bad for the sport. You know,
yeah.
I didn't think of that. While most surprising fight, I always assumed it would be a fight that ended up being really good mm-hmm. that, you know, just shocked me because I didn't expect much from it. But here you get a fight that the outcome and really the way the fight went was just so unexpected.
Insane.
You know, for Juliana Pena to, I mean, just crush Amanda Nunes in some ways and make her quit,
yeah.
even though it didn't look like she was doing anything all that different than what she normally does. It was one of those things that I still haven't fully recovered from watching that.
No, not at all, man. And that second round in general, one of those, you know, there are those fights and those rounds specifically where you're on the edge of your seat, biting your nails. You don't know what's going to happen. That one, man, I'm standing up, I'm sitting down, I'm heavy breathing. I'm just everything, man. They were slugging it out back and forth. There were moments where you saw, and I vividly remember, and I talked about it on our recap a couple weeks ago, but I'm like looking at my friend or our friends, and I'm like, guys, you know, if she keeps going like this, Amanda's going to have to take her down or she's probably going to lose. And that's what happened here. It was just such an amazing round, the performance from Pena, the grit, the toughness. And then it was truthfully one of, if not the biggest upset in UFC history. I mean, truly remarkable performance.
Yep, completely agree, and I will – that rematch is a big deal now.
Oh, definitely. As Dana White even said, biggest female fight in the history of the sport. So,
he's got to say those kind of things, but in terms of my personal interest, it's up there.
Oh, 100%, man.
Let's get on to category number 7. We're getting to the heavy hitters.
Oh, that's right, the big boys.
Performance of the year, Dominic. Ooh. Which fighter – all around had the single greatest performance in a fight this year. I mean, that's high praise.
Oh, 100%. Again, you look at, you know, people fight 2, 3, 4 times a year. There were 43 or 42 UFC events this year, tons of Bellator, tons of PFL, so many fights. And to have a one, not just like a win, not a big win over a ranked opponent, but a full put together performance out of all of the fights that happen. This is a big deal, people.
Yeah. And, you know, unlike a lot of our individual awards where it was a lot of our criteria is based on how many times they fought, you know, mm-hmm. comeback fighter of the year, the ones that we got coming up. It's a lot of like, how many times did you fight this year? You know, newcomer of the year, you know, how many wins did you get?
Yeah.
It's all about activity. Here, you could fight once, but as long as that fight.
That could be enough.
Yeah, there you go. So, Dominic, who are our nominees for performance of the year?
The nominees are Brandon Moreno, AJ McKee, Max Blessed Holloway, Valentina Shevchenko, and Cyril Gane.
So I guess we should maybe preface who the performance was against, correct?
That would be worth noting here.
So yes. Brandon Moreno did this against Davis and Figueiredo in their rematch over the summer. AJ McKee, when he took the belt and won the Grand Prix against Patricio Pitbull. Max Holloway, it was like the first card of the year against Calvin Kattar.
On ABC, too. Mm-hmm. I always forget about that.
Valentina Shevchenko against who was supposed to be her toughest fight yet, Jessica Andrade. And Cyril Gane in his quest for gold against Derek Lewis wins that interim belt. Dominic, I mean, this list is great. There's a lot of, you know, fantastic performances all around. Some that got snubbed for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I'm not going to say that this one was near as obvious of a winner as, you know, the aforementioned most surprising fight and maybe most disappointing fight. But I had a hard time believing this fight was going to get topped when I watched it. And
yeah,
turns out it didn't. So our winner is?
The winner is Performance of the Year 2021, Joey's Max Blessed Holloway. No, I mean, we're not just talking performance of the year here. We've said it multiple times on this show. It's one of the best outright full-fledged performances we've ever seen in the history since we've been watching this sport.
Yeah, I 100% that is the case. I mean, for context, we were doing predictions at the time on the show.
Yeah.
I predicted Calvin Kattar to win this fight. So that shows, I think, a lot about how people were valuing Calvin Kattar at the time.
Yeah.
While Max Holloway was the favorite and should have been, a lot of people, you know, liked Calvin Kattar's momentum at the time. The guy had looked really good against Dan Ige, against Jeremy Stevens. And
a great striker, you know, Max, a great boxer.
Max had lost 3 of 4 going into that fight. He was looking maybe a little vulnerable.
Yeah.
And he came out there with a purpose.
An agenda, yes.
And
yes,
he put that on for 5 rounds. I mean, the amount of damage unleashed on Calvin Kattar, that poor guy.
I mean, you thought Max's performance against Ortega was something to behold? Just tune into this.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about it. You know, we witnessed that one live, and I remember being like, this is one of the best performances of all time.
Yeah.
And here he goes, he loses his belt, again, loses 3 of 4 after that fight.
Yeah.
And then comes back and ups the ante and does
shatters records. All kinds of records were broken. The most significant strikes, most strikes thrown, most strikes landed. I mean, the list goes on and on. It was insane.
Yeah. So as of now, this is his first Joey Award, but I have a good feeling, Dominic, that he might be back.
Yes, I do agree.
Now let's get on to, we're here.
Oh, this is the meat.
The big three.
Yes, the big three.
Let's start with Female Fighter of the Year.
A lot of great nominees, Noah, but we had to narrow it down to 5, and those 5 are Valentina Shevchenko, Kayla Harrison, Rose Namajunas, Juliana Pena, as we mentioned earlier, and the sleeper of the 5, but one of the best, Marina Rodriguez. Noah, what do you think? Big years for all 5 of these women, but well, only one can come out.
We will have a new winner this year, as year's winner, Chris Cyborg, not quite able to make the cut, even though she had a good year. She went 2-0 this year.
Yep.
But, you know, it's tough when she's fighting, you know, not the highest level of competition. We just had some women here making big pushes. You know, we probably could have included her, but, man, Marina Rodriguez was a strong.
And I don't think people realize it. She had an amazing year. I started it off with the KO over Amanda Ribas and never looked back.
Yeah, you know, Marina Rodriguez, you know, look at the rest of the nominees. They're all champions of their respective divisions or companies. And Marina Rodriguez is the lone one that's not. But, man, I mean, the year she had, 3 wins. it was hard to keep her off, and she didn't end up winning this year. Spoiler, but you know, it was a tough year for sure. And just her making this final five, I mean, that says a lot in of itself.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And I will say, I know it didn't come down to a coin flip, but I think this was one of the harder ones to judge. But I guess before we get too far into it, Dominic, I'll let you name off that winner so we can talk about her a little bit more.
Ladies and gentlemen, the winner for the Female Fighter of the Year at the 2021 Joeys is Kayla Harrison. That's right, people. Back-to-back Joeys for Female Fighter of the Year, non-UFC fighters. Noah, how about that?
Yeah, she went 4-0 this year, all via finish. Basically dominated her way to a second straight women's flyweight championship, along with another $1 million, or I say flyweight,
women's lightweight. Yeah.
Sorry, everyone. The medicine's kicking in. But she had by far the best year in terms of dominance, in terms of,
I want to say, making a statement.
Yeah, I mean, really just the how much she elevated herself this year.
Yeah.
And really, that's still ongoing. She's yet to sign anywhere.
The biggest free agent there is. She feels
like one of the biggest free agents we've ever seen in the sport.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, what made this so hard, in my opinion, was the level of competition.
Exactly.
Compared to a Valentina. With her win over Andrade, I still think is probably the most, I mean, it was on performance of the year for a reason.
Yeah, one of the best wins of the year.
Rose with two wins over Zhang Weili, you know, Juliana Pena with that win over Amanda Nunes. It was a tough year, but a lot of this category, you know, for Kayla Harrison, it was definitely a bit of that star power carried her here. I mean,
yes,
the way she elevated herself was, it wasn't all about just what she did in the octagon, which was impressive and very one-sided. And we're now we're sitting here wondering how a fight with Amanda Nunes or Chris Cyborg might go.
Yeah. Her stock just, it was already high coming in, but throughout this whole year, performance after performance, then she wins that belt. She wins the money. she's in the free agency doing all the talking, you know, outside of the cage. Her stock is through the roof right now. It's just no other way to put it.
Yeah. And I guess if we're going to be an MMA award show, if we're going to be an MMA podcast and not strictly UFC, can you name someone outside the UFC who's had a better year than Kayla Harrison did in 2021?
I mean, good luck.
Yeah. So,
and that's just, no matter who you are, weight class, male, female, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So it was pretty clear once you really weighed all the factors that, you know, kind of like how Time Magazine does their person of the year, of the year, but it's not always meaning like the best.
Yeah.
It's a lot about who was the most, you know, Donald Trump, the president always wins it because it's like someone who was the most talked about person, you know.
Right.
The guy from Tesla just won it.
Elon Musk.
Elon Musk just won it just because he's a very discussed, yes, controversial figure, whatever. Kayla Harrison, not controversial, I would say, but it very much discussed. And now we're all wondering, you know, how good really is Kayla Harrison?
That's,
you know,
the question everybody's asking.
The Chael Sonnen question. Now, where does Kayla Harrison fit into all this?
right. Yeah.
Now, Dominic, let's give some time for the boys.
Here we go. Well, it's not Saturday when this is coming out. I was going to say Saturdays are for the boys, but anyway. Mm-hmm. The male fighter of the year. No, I mean, are we just jumping right into the nominees, I should say?
I say we do.
Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, the five nominees are Mr. Kamaru Usman, Ciryl Gane, Islam Makhachev, Charles Oliveira, and recent Joey winner a couple minutes ago, Max Blessed Holloway. Noah, these all five UFC fighters it came down to this year, which is an interesting point as we get into this, but this was one where, you know, great years by all five, but to me and to you, this may have been the easiest pick of all 10 categories when it comes down to
I feel like we've said that a lot. I mean, you're right in the sense of I didn't really even consider another winner all year.
Yeah.
But I do just want to say that last pay-per-view event.
Oh yeah.
Our main event pretty much decided a nominee in of itself, you know, Charles Oliveira with his win first title defense over Dustin Poirier secured his spot here. If Dustin Poirier had won,
he would have been in as well.
Could have had an argument that he was fighter of the year. Now,
true.
I probably wouldn't have gave it to him over the individual we picked, but I mean, a lot of people were talking like that. So, you know, Charles, I'm very happy to see him up here. You know, we've been big ride or die Charles fans for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But Dominic, there was only one guy who could really win this.
The king of the mountain, the number one pound for pound fighter in the world right now, Noah, the male fighter of the year, goes to Kamaru Usman. I mean, come on, guys. Three wins, three title defenses, two of them via finish. What else can you say?
Yeah, this one was a gimme only because three title defenses. I mean, how active this guy was.
Crazy.
No disrespect to the rest of the competitors on here, but Usman was just on another level this year. The guy's fighting at the best we've ever seen him, and he's pretty much welcoming all challengers. It's, yeah.
I mean, he's lapping, you know, the division. He's fighting people twice over now, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think some of these guys on here have strong chances to be back on here next year. Usman looks like he might try to take a little more time off, which I think he's deserving of at this point.
For sure.
But, yeah, what a year. I mean, one of the best years for a champion that I can think of. Just he finishes Gilbert Burns, you know, a guy who now it seems a bit forgotten on the calendar for this year, but that was an intriguing fight, one that Gilbert Burns looked like he could really be the guy.
Yeah.
You know, they had a history training with one another.
And Noah, he nearly was the guy.
He nearly finished that fight early. But Usman, being the gamer he is, makes mid-fight adjustments along with his coach, the mastermind Trevor Whitman, and came out very strong in rounds two and three before getting a finish. And then Dominic, he follows that up, rematches Jorge Masvidal, the man that, you know, the fight that was one of those big fights we talked about for disappointing fight of the year last year. And, one of those that people really started to dislike Usman as champion, called him boring, said he's a decision fighter.
Yeah, he flipped a switch this year on that narrative.
Masvidal with the right, or excuse me, Usman with the right cross puts Masvidal to sleep. Whoever saw that coming. And then he rematches Colby Covington, his biggest rival, caps off the year with the amazing fight.
Another five rounds. Could have been fight of the year contender, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it was up there. You know, Usman hurting Colby, dropping him multiple times. Colby coming back late, but just too little too late.
Yeah.
What a year for the champ.
Yeah, it was insane, man. And for what it's worth, before we move into the 10th and final award, two guys on this list that may just be back here this time next year in 2022. Ciryl Gane, a chance to become the heavyweight champ here in a couple weeks' time against Francis Ngannou in January. Islam Makhachev starting the year off big in February with a fight against Beneil Dariush. So two of the guys on this list already with fights booked early in the year. And when they get those early bookings, that could potentially lead to two or three more fights throughout the year to see where they go. So big implications. We may just be talking about those two guys next year as well.
Yeah, that was definitely who I had on the top of my mind when I said that too.
Yeah.
You know, those two names just stick out to me as like, they got big years ahead of them, I think. You know, we'll see if they're able to come out on top because it's not going to be easy. But I have a feeling at least one of those two is going to
be. Who's right it going to be? Top,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But Dominic, there can only be one. We got one more Joey to hand out. The prestigious fight of the year.
Oh, my goodness. The 10th and final already? No, I just want to restart with you already. Well, I'm doing it. The nominees, Noah, there's five. And damn it, every single one of them could have won. But here we go. Justin Gaethje, Michael Chandler, obviously everyone. Max Holloway, Yair Rodriguez, had a late one in November to add on. Alexander Volkanovski versus Brian Ortega, the battle of International Fight Week. Pewter Yan versus Corey Sandhagen for the interim strap, and Marvin Vettori versus Paulo Costa. Didn't see that one coming when the fight was booked. Noah, all five of these are super deserving. All five of these could take the prestigious Fight of the Year award, but there can only be one. Give me your thoughts before we get right into the winner.
The biggest one, and this was something I was worried about all year, when we got kind of past the summer, I was looking at all my, because I, like I said, I kept track of kind of my award nominations, you know, all year. Who did I think was going to be up there? Fight of the Year was a hard one. You know, it was a great year, but it was like, as far as those hard hitting fights, those fights that really stick out as like an all timer.
Yeah.
Felt like we hadn't really got that, you know, yeah. Two quarters of the way through the year, three quarters of the way through the year. But then from basically midway through September on, it they was just kept every turning. Week for the yep. UFC. And, you know, obviously no Bellator or PFL on here. The UFC just has the benefit of having so many more events.
Yeah.
Literally, there. I don't know if there was an event that I would say you could skip from basically UFC 266 till the end of the year. I mean,
no, I mean, I love that you pointed that out, being that literally all five of these were from what, September 25th to yeah. now, like the last quarter of the year, all five of these nominees came. It's crazy to think about.
Yeah. I mean, three or four of them came back to back to back to back weeks.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I think the outlier here is Volkanovski Ortega being in September. I think, yeah. Because Jan or Vittori Costa was the week before 267.
Yep,
then Jan true. Sandhagen was 267. 268 had Gaethje Chandler. Holloway Rodriguez was the week after that. I mean, that's like that's, I said yeah. at that time, I said that was my favorite month. If you go 30 days, that was my favorite 4-week calendar month to cover since we've done this podcast.
Oh, I mean, that's not even comparable.
All sure. cards lived up, all the fights lived up.
Yeah.
But Dominic, there could only be one to rule them all.
And this was one yeah. where we did differ, but we did come to terms. And it helps when all five are just so amazing.
You know what's like, really funny is we differed, but neither of our top pick won.
That is true. Wow. Look at that, how we go about getting our winners yeah. on this show.
Yeah, we didn't flip a coin on this one because I nah. think it was kind of like,
well,
basically, this was both of our second choice, and we felt yeah. very strongly that it could also be the winner. So we're like, okay, we'll just
yeah. The one. Order in which we had our five was really different, but yeah. this was yeah. the one that was that consistent number two spot, which means it takes number one overall. The 10th and final Joey of the 2021 awards, the fight of the year, goes to. Look at all this anticipation. Look at it. Look at it. Can you feel it? Can you feel the tension? Anyways, Justin Gaethje versus Michael Chandler. Damn it, it was only three rounds, but woo-wee, they delivered. The only two-round fight out of the five.
Very true. And so often, you know, when you watch a three-round fight, yep, there you go. So often when you watch a three-round fight that's amazing, you go, man, I wish that was five.
Yeah.
But here, I felt like they literally had nothing left.
Nothing left.
It's kind of like how I wish Capoloza D'Elia was a three-round fight, the yeah. second one.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, man, that fight was perfect as three rounds, Gaethje Chandler, that is, because, you know, it was obvious that Chandler had wore the damage more than Gaethje was at that point. And,
spitting out blood. I'll never yeah. forget that.
But, I mean, this fight was, I think, the front runner for most people. I mean, again, a lot of tough competition here, but I feel yeah. like this was the one that would, if there was a poll on the UFC's Twitter account, which I'm sure they'll do, it'll probably yeah. be the winner of the poll.
Yeah.
I would say. But, you know, so in a way, it's like, oh, we're picking like an obvious choice. But man, we both differed big on this category this yeah. year.
Is it worth maybe?
Yeah.
I think we so let them know.
Go ahead with your winner.
Personally, for me, one of my favorite, or my favorite fight of the year, one of my favorites in recent memory that I've gotten to watch in terms of just the highest level of mixed martial arts, man, was that interim title fight at UFC 267, Petr Yan, Corey Sandhagen, five rounds, nonstop pacing, back and forth, where really two or three big moments were the deciding factor in that fight for Petr Yan, because outside of those, Sandhagen was, you know, dishing out just as much damage, just the highest level of MMA. That's what we titled it when we recapped the fight. And that's why that one really took the cake for me this year.
That's a good way to talk about it, is like there was just those few moments that just yeah. like were enough to secure a round, because it was yes. just so dead even the whole time.
Yeah.
Had you on the edge of your seat, you know, white knuckling the chair, mm-hmm. just like
I'm doing it right now in happen? My chair. Yeah.
So you went, so it, when you had like your winner in mind, a lot of it was based off like the highest level of MMA that you saw in 2021.
Yes.
My winning pick, at least my favorite fight of the year, one that probably going to be the most under the radar of the five, and that's Alexander Volkanovski versus Brian Ortega. For me, it's the story of that fight. You know, that fight told a 25-minute epic.
Yeah, it was.
It's the most one-sided of the five fights.
Yeah.
You know, you see champion Volkanovski clearly getting the upper hand. And then round three happens.
That round of the year? I mean.
Round of the year.
Let's be
that,
honest.
That and Prohaska
That's one of the best rounds I've. Yeah.
But, yes, round of the year. And, I mean, you have basically this champion, this dominant champion in Volkanovski, who looked like for two and a quarter rounds that he was going to really dominate his way to another title defense. And for Brian Ortega to dig deep and get not one, but two tight submissions in.
At that guillotine. Like,
both of them looked like it was over. You know, Ortega, the jiu-jitsu specialist.
Yeah.
And for Volkanovski, who is, again, it's almost like the story, man. I need to write like a paper about this fight. Because it's like David and Goliath.
Yeah.
But yet, somehow in round three, you almost start to feel something for Goliath.
Yeah.
As he's like almost being choked out and he's able to fight out of it. You're like, wait a minute. I thought he was the big bad guy. And now all of a sudden I'm kind of rooting for him. And
what's cool about this fight is that there was, as a viewer and, you know, the media, podcasting, all that stuff, the emotion that I felt watching that was second to none this year. We're like, I love Ortega. I have grown to really love Volkanovski. He was one of the most underappreciated guys in the UFC until that fight. And that fight really catapulted him, I felt like. But, you know, that plays into that emotional factor as well. And the fact that Brian's getting beat down, but then almost pulls it out. Then Volkanovski bounces back, beats him down in round four. Then round five. Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Ortega won that fifth round. It was a 3-2 for Volkanovski. So it is definitely an amazing fight. And that round three was crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, all in all, though, we meet in the middle and come to Gaethje versus Chandler, which, dare I say, the best three-round fight of all time.
Oh, it's up there, man. It's up there.
I mean, what a compromise, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like we compromised, but it was kind of like we had a 1A and a 1B.
Yeah.
This is like both of our 1Bs. So it was still one that we felt very strongly about as a winner, but it was just very interesting how we had to kind of meet
come
in the middle
to it.
Almost. Yeah.
But
yeah, what a year it was. 2021, Dominic.
And now I'm sad.
We've given out all the awards. We've yet to have a repeat winner.
That's true. Maybe next year.
Or as far as I know, we have not had anybody win two Joeys yet.
Just in general.
Unless you count Amanda Nunes technically won two for this year. She had the submission of the year, and she was in the most surprising fight of the year as the loser.
See, that's what's interesting about those ones, you know.
That's why I say we just cut them in half. And
Right. Someone gets the tomato on top, and someone gets the pedestal part.
Yeah, I'm looking now at last year. Davison Figueroa got two last year for male fighter of the year and most surprising fight of the year with his first fight with Brandon Moreno.
So that's our only two Joey winner, technically.
Him and if you want to count Amanda Nunes.
Yeah, I guess Amanda technically does win too. So elite company there now. I mean, Davison Figueroa, Amanda Nunes, Davison about to have the trilogy next month against Brandon Moreno as well. It's going to be a big year in 2022. There's a lot to be excited for.
It's just interesting that nobody in 2020 who won those awards were able to duplicate that in 2021.
That's true.
So we've had two people win two awards in the same year, but can anybody who has the longevity, will Max be up there for performance of the year again?
Right.
Will Kamaru hold down the top of the mountain as male fighter of the year?
Man, I'll tell you what, that would be what is most impressive is having back-to-back fighter of the year wins.
Yeah.
That would be nuts.
Yeah,
that's tough. That'll
be an interesting day when that happens.
Yeah.
But thank you guys again for joining us for the second of what is going to be our annual Joey's Award Show. It is our last episode of 2021, Dominic, which means next time you see us, which will be a week from today, this Wednesday.
That's right.
We'll be coming at you with, what is our video?
It is our biggest questions regarding each division heading into 2022. We'll figure out a way to word it nice, but that's basically the gist.
Yeah. So very excited about that one. Just wanted something that was a little different than
something a one-off, not part of anything else. Yeah.
But Dominic, I know I kind of gave a lot of my end of the year thoughts in our last episode, kind of gave my thank you, my hugs and kisses to all the fans out there.
Right.
So now the floor is yours.
All right. Well, let me get up on the stage here, center, you know, and everything. But no, guys, it's been an amazing year. This was our first full 365 days of the podcast, being that we started in August of 2020. So what a year it's been. So I wish I knew off the top of my head how many episodes we did this year. Maybe we'll do like an end of the year stat thing for you guys, but it's been a ton of content. We introduced podcast clips. We started doing video on Spotify, and we have so many ideas and content and just things with the show and our audience to go into 2022. We've really ended the year big, a lot of growth. We've had a lot of people that are new come to the channel. So a lot of momentum heading into 2022, mm-hmm. which is super exciting. Our OG community, we appreciate you. Our new listeners and viewers, we appreciate you just as much. It's been an amazing 2021. I thank you all for your support. And yeah, 2022, Noah, we're coming for it all, my friend. We're coming for it all.
Yeah, we're not here just to take part. We're here to take over.
That's right. We're going to give ourselves a Joey next year. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. We're
give ourselves a Joey. Well, you know what you were saying on our achievements, we started video this year. Did you say that?
We started video this year at episode 100.
It doesn't feel like it. Like, it feels kind of like we've been doing it longer than that.
This was our 68th video episode. Yeah. I mean, wow.
Yeah. Amazing. What a year. What a year it's been. But Dominic, until next time, send us out.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm used to seeing it on the screen here, but it's a little different now with the setup. Thanks, guys, who are in the back. But anyway, you can find me on Twitter, on Instagram, at DCLee14. More importantly, as you see above, in the show lights up top, follow the show, interact, engage with us on Twitter and Instagram, at BAJ_MMA podcast. If you didn't get a voice message in to be featured on the show, that doesn't mean we still don't want to hear from you. Comment below on YouTube. Send us in tweets, Instagram comments of what your picks are. Just because you're not in it on your voice doesn't mean we don't want to hear from you. So, again, guys, thanks for your support. It's been an amazing 2021. Have a happy, happy new year.
Well said, Dominic. And for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, at NTBaker_. If you go to the link in my bio.
Yeah, we'll send us out one last time.
We'll take you to a link tree.
That's right.
Which gives you a list of links.
Yeah.
To all the platforms the podcast is on, along with social media platforms. So that includes.
Oh, it's not limited to.
Kind of is.
It is. Yeah.
The Twitter, the Instagram, the YouTube channel, and Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts. It's all on there. And also, there's a couple links on there for today's sponsor, Anchor.
Shout out to Anchor, another year with us.
Our good friends.
Oh, yeah.
If you go, again, on that link tree, there's a link on there if you want to become a supporter of the podcast. That just provides us a few dollars a month. All that money goes back into improving the quality of the podcast. There's also a link on there if you want to leave a voice message, as we've talked about many a times. Look, we just want to hear from you guys, whether it be audio, whether it be typing comments. Give us your thoughts on this year's Joey's. Did you agree? Did you disagree? Was there any snubs? I'd like to hear someone who's like, hey, how did you not nominate this guy?
I do want to hear it. So, be brutally honest, but not too brutal.
Cuss us out, man.
Okay. Yep, you can do that.
They might not let us back at Lock Media next year, but hey. You know,
we'll be in an alleyway next year. For
But that's going to be it, you guys. And I guess we'll see you in 2022.
In 2022.